Hey guys, this is Patrick from FOW Radio. This is the Fans of Wrestling show, live at the Quad. And in today's show, I will get a chance to speak to the Lynch Mob, Joey and Matt Lynch. And they make their return to Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment for Tales of an Arabian Facebuster. Also, we'll have Mike Blaze and Danny Danger briefly review and also talk about the event after the fact, with a little post talk on just what happened at Tales of an Arabian Facebuster, what were some of the highlights, and just exactly how good this event was for Atlanta Wrestling. So make sure that you guys follow us on Twitter at FOW Radio. Make sure that you also check us out on our website, FOWRadio.com. And also, big news for FOW Radio, the Fans of Wrestling show will be moving to the Georgia Wrestling History Radio Network, effective on the 18th of September. So make sure you check us out there on gwhnewsandnotes.blogspot.com, and you can check out the GWH podcast link there. We'll also be having links on our site, as well as just posting the episodes on Twitter, so make sure you definitely check us out. So please listen and enjoy the show. All right, so we are live at the Quad here for Tales from the Arabian Facebuster, and we've got the Lynch Mob here, Joey and Matt. How are you guys doing?
Good, man.
What's going on?
You guys are back from season 2 premiere, and so has it been, you guys are back, excited?
I'm excited, yeah. Man.
I love Atlanta. This is freaking awesome.
Time to whip some ass.
Yeah.
Talking about that, you got Team IOU, who looked very impressive 2 weeks ago in their debut here in Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment. What are you guys thinking?
Well, it's going to be a challenge, but I think they're going to bring out the best in us. We're going to find out.
I've seen them several times in action, and they've impressed me a lot. I just feel like we put out all the stops so we can get the W.
Now, you said you love Atlanta. What is it about Atlanta that you love so much?
It's just a big city, man. It's just got that big-time feel. And driving down the highway down here, and you're passing the TBS station, and it just reminds me of old-school WCW, you know what I mean? It's exciting.
Now, we've been talking about you guys some, and just all the tag teams coming in here in AWE, and it seems that there's a lack of tag teams in the AWE. What do you guys bring to that? And, do you guys think that you guys are one of the guys to be able to lead that division here?
Honestly, I think we have one up on everybody, considering we're brothers. We've grown up together all of our lives. So, pretty much if I'm doing something, he knows what's going on. He backs me up on it. So, it's just a family thing, and that's what the other people lack.
Yeah, we kind of know what each other's thinking. We can capitalize on each other's mistakes. So, like he said, we got an upper hand because we've been with each other for over 30 years, and 12 of it was together. So,
now, being that you're here in Atlanta, this is AWE's biggest show yet. And how does it feel for you guys to be part of such a show with all the hype behind it and all the names? We have a legend in Sabu headlining here. And what does it mean to you guys to be a part of the show today?
Man, it's an honor. It's an honor to even be on the same card as a name like Sabu or Murder One.
And we are back live at the Quad, Fans of Wrestling Radio, FOW, Mike Prime, and Danny Danger, getting ready to pop this show off. Tales of an Arabian Facebuster, courtesy of Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment. Danny, how you doing?
Doing great, man. I've been looking forward to this show for weeks, like counting down the days. This is going to be one of the biggest shows, if not the biggest, in the state of Georgia this year.
It's absolutely the first climax of AWE Season 2. The last three shows have obviously been building to this one. These guys are getting ready to really give us something special here. definitely a make-or-break night for AWE and for the AWE locker room in particular. Definitely a time to show us why we should get behind this product, get behind these guys, why we should anticipate these matches like we do. Danny, you know, what's on the card so far tonight?
Well, I know of a handful of things on the card. We'll start with some of the possible earlier matches. I heard that Team IOU is back this week. They'll
now,
be
Danny, what do you make
on
of Team IOU? What are your thoughts on these guys?
My first time seeing them was last show. So I mean, I watched a little bit on YouTube to see some, like, a highlight clip video. But I think they put on an interesting dynamic. Mm-hmm. I think they have a little differing styles, and that kind of helps add. And then, of course, they're, as we saw last week, not above cheating to win. Feigning
not
an injury and using the aerosol or something in the eyes. So if their talents alone can't pull them to victory, they'll find another way.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, that's what I've been saying about these guys, is that this is not a team that cares about dignity, respect, or the rules. You know, I think the Lynch Mob is going to give them all they can handle, but if they, you know, if they find a way around the rules, if they find a chink in the Lynch Mob's armor, then, you know, they could get in there with a low blow. They could get in there with a distracting the ref, something like that, to steal the win from them.
Absolutely.
Now, I understand that Glenn Matthews and Mark are going to be going back up against each other tonight. What have you made of this this matchup between these guys so far? This has been fun to watch for me personally.
It really has. I had seen Glenn Matthews towards the end of season one, and he was okay. I wasn't overly impressed, but through this series of matches with Marco and with last week with Luscious Laron, I've become a fan of Glenn Matthews. I think he's showing us a lot of things that people may not have seen in him before. I hope that Glenn can get the big win over Marco and shut his mouth, and Glenn can move on to bigger and better things.
Definitely. You know, what I've been saying about Glenn is that I like seeing a guy that shows that big guys can be bad too. You know, just like the American Dream, you don't have to be chiseled out of marble to learn how to get the W in a wrestling match. And so far, I don't know that Marco has been taking Glenn seriously. You know, he's been trying to make Glenn sweat a little bit, trying to get get his heart rate up, make him, you know, try to get him in shape a little bit, because Marco is so focused on fitness right now. And I think what Marco's been finding out is you don't have to be a bodybuilder to win a wrestling match. And so I wonder if tonight is the night that Marco finally comes in with his eyes straight forward, his head screwed on straight, not worried about anything else going on off to the side, not worried about anybody's health or fitness or sex or weights or protein shakes or any of it, and is worried about getting that 1-2-3 in the middle of the ring to show that he is a strong competitor.
If he doesn't, Glenn Matthews is going to put him away again.
And Glenn Matthews deserves the win if Marco doesn't walk in taking this seriously. I think that Glenn has shown he's a force to be reckoned with. And that, frankly, I would like to see him finally put that last nail in Marco's coffin and move on to bigger and better things.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Absolutely. Now let's talk about arguably one of the most exciting aspects of this card tonight is the first ever in professional wrestling history Lucky 7 Scramble. So we have seven competitors, seven guys that have either earned or been awarded their spot in this match. We're looking at ROH's Cedric Alexander. We're looking at the Dark Mon. We're looking at a Georgia legend in Iceberg. We're looking at up-and-comers like Ken Lee and Owen Knight.
You have Sugar D returning
to AWE. Chip Day looking to get back in the title picture.
I mean, this is seven different men with seven different agendas, all bringing something different, all bringing different wrestling styles. Styles, different levels of experience in an entirely new set of rules for this match. I mean, this could go any way. This is the match that I am personally looking most forward to, just because I have no idea how it's going to go.
Absolutely. You know, seven different competitors, seven different styles, seven different outlooks, seven different stages in their careers, seven different desires here, whether it's to get back in the title picture, whether it's to establish your dominance, whether it's to prove yourself in the land of giants that is AWE. Really, who do you see going into the final four? This match is going to eliminate three guys and then turn into a fatal four-way elimination style. Who do you see making it into that final four?
That's one of the things I'm having difficulty with this match. I'm having difficulty figuring out who's going to win, who's going to do advancements.
It could go any number of ways, couldn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, you have the Big Men, Iceberg, the Dark Mon. I mean, these guys are not easy to defeat in any capacity. In order to get them eliminated early, I think you would have to have multiple men go against them and kind of team up to take one of these behemoths out.
Well, you know, look, thinking about the Darkmon is not a guy that we've seen his limits yet. You know, we've seen him dominate, we've seen his ferocity, but we haven't really seen a guy that's able to take Darkmon all the way out to his edges, to the limits of what he can do. So we don't really know where the Darkmon's limits are.
Absolutely.
Could this be the night that we actually see how deep does the fire of the demon wrestler go? At what point does he falter? At what point does he have all he can handle? Can all of these six guys together take him to that place?
That's one of the many unanswered questions leading into this matchup. Iceberg, like you've talked, is a Georgia legend, a super heavyweight. This man has been dominating the ring in Georgia for many, many, many years.
I mean, how many guys will it take to eliminate the Iceberg from this match? And are there going to be enough guys in the ring to accomplish that, you know? Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Really, I think if there's a guy, that I think would have been the one at the bottom of the totem pole in this match, it would have been Ken Lee. However, after Ken Lee's performance in that fatal four-way 2 weeks ago, earning his spot in that match, Ken Lee, I think, is a force to be reckoned with. Ken Lee's head appears to be in the right space. He appears to be ascendant, on the rise, eager to prove himself. Tonight could be his night to insert himself all the way up to the top of the card into the main event title picture.
Definitely. Ken Lee talked when he came and started in Season 2. He said he wasn't taking things seriously in Season 1 of AWE, and he seems to be focused, unlike we've seen him focused here before. In that four-way match, he performed at the level that I don't think anybody might have seen from him. People might not have expected him to be able to perform at that level. If he can bring that kind of energy, that kind of intensity and focus into this match, he could make it into the Final Four. He could take the whole thing. He could be the next number one contender.
Absolutely, absolutely. So now, let's talk about the title match night. We have a new face in AWE, but not a new face in the independent professional wrestling scene, in JT Dunn, coming down here, coming to Atlanta to step up to Jimmy Rave and attempt to take the Georgia Wrestling Crown Championship belt away from Jimmy Rave. What do you make of this matchup?
JT Dunn is a guy who's been making waves in a lot of places for several years. He was part of the Juicy Product, their former CZW Tag Team Champions. More recently, he's broken into singles competition, and he's been tearing things up. I've never seen him wrestle a match live. I'm not 100% sure what he can bring to the table, but if his reputation precedes him, then he'll definitely put up a fight for Jimmy Rave. The problem is Jimmy Rave is having a picture-perfect year. Jimmy Rave has not lost in Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment. I don't think he's lost in 2015. He won the Scenic City Invitational. He won to become the first-ever Georgia Wrestling Crown Champion. Jimmy Rave is a phenomenal wrestler, but the thing that also helps Jimmy Rave is he's not above taking shortcuts if needed. He's a man who can beat you on the mat. He can beat you with strikes. He can beat you a lot of different ways. And if those ways don't seem to go the way he wants, he might just pull the tights. He might just hit a low blow. He might spit in your face.
Or he might call in the hierarchy to do his dirty work for him.
Absolutely. That's one of the many things we have to look for in AWE. The hierarchy is in full force. There's four men right now.
So, Danny, we're speaking about the hierarchy. It's hard to talk about the hierarchy without also addressing their newest addition to their ranks. Formerly known as Do or Die Chip Day, currently known, as far as I'm concerned, as the Kennesaw Backstabber. Turning his back on his hometown, turning his back on his principles, turning his back on his fans first and foremost, and apparently throwing up his hands, deciding nothing matters, and aligning with the hierarchy. I have struggled with this for 2 weeks now. I don't know what to make of it. Danny, do you have any thoughts that could help me make sense of what's happened?
I've been trying to wrap my head around it for the last couple weeks as well. I'm a big Chip Day fan personally. He didn't just turn his back on all the people you mentioned before. He also turned his back on his friends. it was kind of alluded to that he is responsible for Adrian Armour not being here.
I think there's little left to the imagination that he is the friend that turned up at Chip Day's door. And he is the friend that turned up at Adrian Armour's door and injured Adrian, took him out of action for the time being. I don't know that there's any mystery left there.
Yeah, and we saw what he did to Sy Lacrosse. That was the other friend he had here. Prior to Chip turning his back on his friends, I kind of thought that the Lethal Weapons were gaining strength, teaming up together to maybe take on the hierarchy. Chip Day threw a wrench in that. He took out both members of the Lethal Weapons and aligned himself with the hierarchy. I'm not really sure. One of the only things that I'm able to try and think of a reason is be the if you can't beat them, join them kind of thing. Chip Day's never really been able to get definitive wins over the hierarchy. He's never been able to get that elusive pin over Jimmy Rave. Murder Ones always seem to get the best of him. So I don't know if it's just Chip Day becoming fed up with trying to be the nice guy and it not working for him. And so he felt that he needed somebody who could watch his back, and it's kind of, if you can't beat him, join him. That seems to be the way the only reason that I can think. Maybe we'll hear from him today. Maybe he'll kind of explain his actions, give a little bit of his motives.
You know, my philosophy in life for a long time has been to believe that people don't change. They just become more like themselves. And I think when I look at what Chip Day has done here, maybe I was wrong about him from the beginning. Maybe Chip did not change. Chip did not turn. Maybe Chip just finally is showing us who he actually is. He actually is a coward and a cheat and a liar and a backstabber. And maybe he's not the man to make the town of Kennesaw world famous. Maybe he's the man that is best left George's best kept secret.
Absolutely. The thing is with Chip, what he was originally in AWE aligned loosely with Jimmy Rave and Murder One, both being mentors of his in his career.
Mm-hmm.
He decided to step away from them. I guess he felt tired of kind of being the low man on the totem pole with them. And that's where we thought he maybe was a different person. He maybe changed. He saw the light, so to speak, but the light might have just been a temporary point for him. He could have just been this all along, just kind of biding his time. I don't know how long he might have been planning this this turn, this plot with the hierarchy. I don't know how many people he's trying to dupe, but it's been quite some time brewing, possibly.
Right. So, Danny, here we are. We're live at the Quad. This show is just about to get started. AWE's Tales of an Arabian Facebuster. We're going to see Sabu and Murder One go head-to-head here. Do you think Murder One has any chance of standing up to Sabu?
Murder One is a dangerous man. He's a tough competitor. Anytime he's gotten in the ring in AWE, he's put a hurting on somebody. I think his win-loss record is probably one of the best in the company right now. But I don't see that Murder One has competed against somebody the level of Sabu here in AWE. Sabu is in a class on his own. He's been wrestling and hurting people with tables and spikes and chairs and knives and ladders and barbed wire for 3 decades. The guy is a legend. The guy still competes at that level that he's been doing for so many years. We can't count Murder One out because I don't know if we've actually seen the depths of how evil Murder One can be in AWE.
You know, I think that you have to recognize how devastating Murder One has been, but Murder One has been devastating because Murder One has been employing these cowardly tactics. He's been jumping guys from behind. He's been ganging up on guys. He's been taking advantage of everybody's weak points. He has not been meeting his opponents as fellow men in honest competition. He has been slithering through the grass, striking when it best suits him. And unfortunately, as bad as Murder One is, as devastating as Murder One can be, as dangerous as he is, to not only to the guys in the ring, but to everybody in the arena, no matter how much of a force to be reckoned with he is, Sabu is the homicidal suicidal, genocidal, death-defying ECW original, and I don't know that Murder One is ready for that.
I think Murder One's had a lot of time to try and plan and think of what he's going to do, but I think when you get in the ring with someone like Sabu, all that goes out the window.
Absolutely,
I think it becomes a fight. It becomes a fight in the truest sense of the word. No planning, no preparation. You're just going on instinct.
Agreed. All right, so here we are live at the Quad. The show's about to pop off. That static electricity is running through the room. It's building up to where it's going to shock the life out of us. And here we go. Hey, we're back live at the Quad. Mike Prime and Danny Danger coming at you from Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment's Tales of an Arabian Facebuster. Danny, we have seen quite a show tonight. We've seen quite a few battles here. We just saw an epic rampage by Sabu through the Quad here. We saw Dark Mom throwing foes left and right in the seven-man scramble, the Lucky Seven scramble. Danny, first impressions, what are your thoughts after this show? And is your voice left at all? Because mine is shot after a show like this.
I have a little bit of a voice left, thank you. Overall, the show always delivers. It's just, you feel drained after the show. It's just so much energy. The guys are right there in your face. I call it
the exhaustion of being thoroughly entertained.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's like a wrestling hangover. You'll have it tomorrow morning.
Absolutely, absolutely. So let's just run through the card really quick. So we saw Marco finally get that win over Glenn Matthews.
Not the way we wanted.
Not in a legit fashion. Kind of with a little ref distraction. Winning by dastardly means there. What'd you think of the match?
It was a good match. It was a good showing from Glenn, but once again, the numbers didn't play in his favor.
Absolutely, absolutely. We saw the Lynch Mob going up against Team IOU. Quite a war that was. Huckabee and Black running in there at the finish.
Absolutely.
Any thoughts on Team IOU this time around?
Well, same with Team IOU. They're good. They're talented, but they use underhanded means. They used underhanded means to win last show against the Sound and the Fury.
Right.
And
rather than a fighting spirit, they show up with a boatload of swagger.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It obviously looks like the issues between Team IOU and the Sound and the Fury are far from over.
And with Huckabee and Black, not even waiting for the match really to even be over by the time they rush the ring to get their revenge on Team IOU, will we see a six-man tag, three-way dance between Team IOU, between the Sound and the Fury, Huckabee and Black, and between the Lynch Mob?
I think if any of those teams have their way, it will be. I don't think Team IOU wants any of either of those teams in the ring together.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely see that's a possibility coming forward, because there's just too much unsettled business between those three teams.
Absolutely. Now, we saw this four-way massacre in the Roar Women's Division between Dementia DeRose, the Priscilla Kelly, the Girl on Fire, Kiera Hogan, and Ashton Starr.
Ashton Starr taking the loss. Priscilla Kelly and Kiera Hogan brawling to the back. I think that's the feud that never dies. I don't think there's ever going to be a definitive end. They're just going to keep brawling and brawling, and they're going to get wins over each other, but nothing's ever going to be settled.
I mean, wherever they are right now, they're probably brawling still, out in the parking lot or down the street at the Varsity or somewhere backstage. Who knows? They're probably still going at it.
Absolutely. Both women want to be known as the alpha female in AWE, and I think that's a battle that's not going to end. Dementia DeRose did come on top, crushing Ashton Starr with the Damnasia. And I think personally that the Roar division belongs to Dementia DeRose.
I think she's definitely the force to beat. She's almost a combination of the unstoppable force and the immovable object. And Ashton Starr certainly wasn't enough to overcome her tonight. Let's talk about this Lucky 7 scramble match, the first Lucky 7 scramble in the history of professional wrestling.
Fantastic.
Absolutely a ride from beginning to end. Ken Lee and Owen Knight going out early, as many of us predicted. They were looking to prove themselves tonight, and while they had strong showings, it was not enough to put them out over the top. Quite a shocker, the Darkmon going out third, not making it to the Fatal Four to finish out the match. What did you make of that? Did you feel the energy rush out of the room when Darkmon was eliminated?
Absolutely. A lot of people felt that Darkmon was the one to beat in that match.
It was definitely a Darkmon crowd, to be sure.
Yeah, and I mean, it did take multiple attempts of double teaming in order to even weaken the Darkmon to put him in that state. Chip Day and Iceberg teamed up against him, hitting him with a flurry of moves. They hit the pin. Dark Mon kicked out right after the three count, showing
Absolutely.
That he was down, but he wasn't out.
Not quite enough to put down the demon, but just enough to get the three count and then no more.
And get him out of the ring.
Now, next we saw Siler Cross bring the thunder into the ring.
Bring the hammer of the gods.
I don't know if you saw him standing off to the side earlier on in the match, and then suddenly a crash of thunder, a crackle of lightning, and like the fist of an angry god, he hits the ring, sending Iceberg and Chip Day scurrying to the outside, chasing them around the ring, after Chip Day, nailing Iceberg with that hammer, and then chasing Chip from the arena.
Absolutely. I don't know what else to say. Siler Cross.
I would hate to be in Chip Day's shoes right
off.
Now.
In Chip Day's shoes, in Iceberg's shoes, in any of the hierarchy's shoes, Siler Cross is a dangerous man. An angry Siler Cross is not anyone you want to tangle.
Absolutely, absolutely. And then we got to see Ring of Honor star Cedric Alexander, along with independent star Sugar Dunkerton, going at it for quite some time to finish out the match. I don't know if you can even see this right now. The Cowardly Murder One over here is taking over the recording of a podcast going on next to us, a fellow podcast. Murder One has stormed the arena, has taken over the microphone, is forcing himself upon innocent people the same way that the coward Murder One always does.
Absolutely. Typical Murder One.
I can't even stand this. So we saw Sugar Dunkerton, Cedric Alexander finishing out the Lucky 7 Scramble.
Cedric coming out on top with the lumbar check, putting him down, getting the win. Cedric now earns himself a future shot at the Georgia Wrestling Crown Championship. AWE has a lot of shows coming up soon, every other week, so it seems. And as soon as we're able to lock down a contract, it will be.
You wanted, Murder. That ain't right.
Murder
so then we got to
around
see
talking
our
trash still.
Absolutely, just walk around talking trash. So we saw this semi-main event between independent star JT Dunn versus the Georgia Wrestling Crown champion Jimmy Rave. Quite a battle this was. The way that a lot of these matches, these title defenses go with Jimmy, the hierarchy hitting the ring to swing favor into Jimmy Rave's corner. I don't know that he could have handled JT Dunn without them.
I don't think so. I think JT Dunn was on his way to securing a victory.
Absolutely.
The hierarchy
somehow
of Iceberg, Chip Day run in, and Jimmy's able to pick up the win.
Absolutely. You know, just with that referee distraction, Chip Day somehow escaping Siler Cross at some point along the way, able to hit the ring, deliver the Day of the Dead to JT Dunn to put him down for
Force
Jimmy Rave to lock him in that finishing submission hold and secure the win with a new referee.
Yes.
Absolutely. They had one referee go down. Butterbean took a hit.
The death by elbow.
Had to have Stan the Man jump in and finish out the match. I don't know where Madman Mason was tonight. We certainly could have used his calming influence to maintain a lot of these battles, keep things orderly in the ring a lot more so than it was. Speaking of disorderly in the ring, our main event tonight, Murder One versus the ECW original, the legendary Sabu. Match
Absolute
ended
chaos.
A little bit early than anybody would have expected. We did see Murder One take a facebuster through a table with a chair.
Murder One,
what everybody
able
wanted
to kick
to see.
Out. Murder One was able to kick out from that. I'm surprised.
I was shocked at that. I don't know if Murder even knew where he was or what he was doing. Maybe that was pure instinct.
We know Murder One's tough, but I didn't know he was tough enough to survive that.
Absolutely, absolutely. Trina Michaels grabbing Sabu's boots, allowing Murder One to get in that final chair shot, win with a quick roll-up.
Roll him up. Probably hooking the tights. I couldn't tell from my vantage point.
I'm sure. Not what anybody was expecting to see. But that's how things go in professional wrestling sometimes. It's how things went tonight in Tales of an Arabian Facebuster live at the Quad, courtesy of Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment. Sabu's fury was felt. He pulled the referee back in the ring and absolutely decimated him.
Laid him out with an Arabian Facebuster of his own.
So sent the crowd home happy seeing some of the devastation of Sabu. You know, Sabu nearly tore the building down with chair shots. A light bulb was broken. There's broken glass all over the ring. That table was smashed early, and Sabu propped it up with a chair to make it work. If there's anyone that knows how to make a table work, it would be legendary Sabu. Just absolute devastation everywhere you go. Guys trying to sweep the ring out as the match is going on to get rid of that broken glass. I mean, absolutely nothing seemed to go according to plan during that match, but maybe that's just what happens when you bring Sabu in.
The building
may or may not survive along with everybody
Sabu's
in the
MO.
Ring.
That's Sabu's MO. Brings a whirlwind of chaos everywhere he goes.
It would almost be disappointing if we didn't see the building shake in that way. So here we are. Our voices are shot. We're mentally exhausted. We've just survived Tales of an Arabian Facebuster here at the Quad Atlanta. Thank you to Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment for putting on another great card. Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment, AWE, will be back here at the Quad September 20th to start off the fall series here in season two. Can't wait to see details on that card. Tickets on sale now. If you are in the Metro Atlanta area, why are you not down here at the Quad with us right now? We hope to see you next week, September 20th. Danny?
Absolutely. They have many more shows coming. October 4th, October 15th, they'll be at the Masquerade in Atlanta. Hopefully one of the last shows the Masquerade ever sees will be some of the best wrestling in Georgia.
Absolutely, absolutely. So here we are, Fans of Wrestling Radio, Mike Prime and Danny Danger coming at you live from the Quad. We will see you here September 20th, 1 week from today.
And thank you once again to Lynch Mob for joining us. And thank you to Mike Prime and Danny Danger for going over Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment's Tales of an Arabian Facebuster. I hope you guys enjoyed the show today. Again, make sure that you follow us on Twitter at FOW Radio. Also, our website, FOWRadio.com. Make sure you follow the Lynch Mob on Facebook as well. And Danny Danger is on Twitter at Reigning Danger. That's RayningDanger. Mike Prime is on Twitter at MWill150. And I'm on Twitter at Yellow Maniac. And again, we're moving Blog Talk Radio and the Georgia Wrestling History Radio Network starting on September 18th. So make sure that you follow us on Twitter. Check out our website for more information, links to our episodes, and on how to subscribe. And until next time, keep watching wrestling.